You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
And a good morning to you, Dan Furkin, with Walter Assey here from Renovco. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
You good?
I'm absolutely in a great mood today.
Oh, good. How come?
The sun is shining and, you know, the birds are, you know, it's beautiful, beautiful spring day for me. I just, in my head.
Okay. I said earlier how I went to bed last night and woke up 7 years ago.
Yeah, it's
you woke up in the spring.
It's just a state of mind.
Okay. Well, that's a good state of mind.
I refuse to look outside.
Understood. But we kind of have to because we had that rain last night that they said was remnants from the tropical storm Nicole, and lots more rain today. And I know that at least in Pierrefonds, the mayor there is saying that, you know, we're not expecting flooding, but keep an eye on your basements.
Yeah.
And I'm suspecting that depending on where you live, this is a concern when the rain's big enough.
It is. Flat roofs worry me when you have heavy rains. That's something that we see often, that, you know, the drains are either blocked or they're dirty or they have, you know, especially now, fall leaves, all the tree leaves are on the drain.
Yeah.
So if you do have a flat roof, now it's not raining, it's a great time to get up there, or if you can get up there and you're not agile enough, then hire someone to go up there and at least clean the drains.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what happens in essence, if your roof is, if your drain is blocked, that flat roof becomes a swimming pool.
Okay.
So, you know, it's really testing your roof to its limit. And one word of caution that is often seen, if, you know, people go up there, they see it's a swimming pool, so right away they jump to the drain, that's their first reflex, and they immediately try to unblock it. You have to be very, very careful, because if you do that, you're going to have all kind of water backing up in your lower floors, because the drain can't handle it, so all the water gush down one at the same time.
Yes.
And then you're going to see waters backing up from your toilets and your sinks. So it has to be done, it have to be done extremely slowly and extremely prudently, or else you're going to have other problems.
So it does make sense to hire someone to do that.
I mean, you know, it depends. It's always the scope of your knowledge. Have you done it again? Have you done it before? Have you researched what you're doing, right? So it's great to be handy, but sometimes being handy could be also dangerous if you don't know what you're doing, right? Little bit of knowledge is more dangerous than not knowing anything at all. That's what
I
always
think. I guess it can be, yeah.
That's right. So, I mean, that's one thing. The other thing that surprised me often is, you know, we don't talk about this enough. The ventilation system, the furnaces, the heat pumps.
Yes.
As we all know, there's a big shortage of labor in our industry, right? So in the old days, we have a problem with our furnace. It's minus 20. You call the furnace company, chances are the same day you're going to have a technician. Mm-hmm. On an average now, you call the same company and there are 3, 4, 5 days wait for you to get that service. Okay, so don't wait for your furnaces to break down to call, because it's not the same dynamic as we're used to in the past. In the past, we were spoiled, I have to say. You know, get someone in, verify if everything is in good working order, you know, especially if your furnace is older. I'm not talking about, you know, if your furnace is 1 year old or 2 years old, chances are, especially if it's electric, there's nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. Your heat pump and everything else. Just make sure that everything is in good working order beforehand, because you'll be surprised to know that the waiting time for these services is typically many days now rather than same day service.
Yeah,
in most cases, I
believe it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's a good idea in as much as you're going to, you know, tune up your car, as they say, you got to tune up your house and all the things that are going to keep you warm and comfortable. In terms of getting back to the rain, first of all, let's throw our phone numbers out there. 514-790-0800, Star Talk on Bell Mobility, and 1-800-491-CJAD. Your questions for Walter Assey on the Home Improvement Show. We were talking about the rain getting in. Talking about signs that you have moisture, like cracks or lines in the paint on the ceiling and stuff like that. Is that what, if you see that, is that a sign that the moisture is getting in?
I mean, moisture can get in from windows, from walls, from ceilings. So yes, I mean, obviously any discoloration in a wall, any bubbling, is a sign that you have some type of water infiltration. If you lose that in the ceiling, and just rained, it's a good day to go up to the ceiling, to the attic, and check it out, because the plywood is still wet, so you kind of zero in exactly the point on the roof that is leaking.
Yes.
And, you know, at least that general area. So if when you call the roofer, you could tell them this is where it's leaking from, and they could actually look at that particular section and, you know, potentially fix that section. So, yeah, it's a good thing when you have extreme weather, because it's not never a good thing, but I'm saying it's a good thing for you to know what's wrong with your house.
Yeah.
We always have, you know, sometimes feel complacent that we don't have any issues and what have you. So that tests our house. You kind of put it to the limit. So if there's any weakness out there and it's going to get only worse with time, you know, jump in and fix it before it actually gets worse.
Which makes
sense. And it will get worse.
Yeah, absolutely. When you talk about on a flat roof going up to the clean the drain, how is that done?
So in certain cases, what we've done, believe it or not, is when we find that there's way a lot of water and there's a very, you know, strong potential that, you know, the drains are not going to take it, I actually pump the water out.
Okay.
You know, so I bring in a pump with a hose and we kind of pump it out. Because I don't want to overstress that drain.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in cases where, you know, sometimes we get the call right in, smack in the middle of the storm, right?
Yes.
So even the city storms are overloaded, and I'm just introducing another, I don't know how many feet of water in there. So it's not really a good practice. So what we do is we bring these big commercial pumps and we pump the water out. That's the safest practice in this case. Then when it's nice and empty, then I clean up my drains. I make sure it's unblocked. I make sure it's in good working order, and you're good to go.
When you pump the water out, it goes where?
Well, whatever you can put it in the street, like obviously anywhere that is safe. You're not, you know, flooding your neighbors and what have you.
Yeah.
You know, it comes with long hoses. So anywhere, if I can get to a city sewer or something, you know, nearby, that will be the first intention. In certain areas, you know, when you have big lots, as long as you're 6-7 feet away from the foundation, can pop in, and you have you don't have a negative slope towards the house, then you could drain it into the land. So it's a matter of common sense with a technician where to dump that water.
Yeah, again, that's why I say it's a good idea to hire a professional to come in and do that for you.
Well, simply, I mean, just the fact that you're going 30 feet up in the, you know, in the air on a ladder, mm-hmm. in most of the cases, and extreme weather, I mean, that by itself is an adventure, right?
Yes.
You know, and if you're 80 years old and you're trying to attempt that, that's, you're just asking for trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. You were saying earlier that moisture can come in absolutely anywhere. In the case of the rain last night, was basically like a normal rain. It came down. In the event of a hard rain that comes sideways and hitting against the wall, where will that come in? Around windows or?
Windows and whatever revetment, whatever exterior cladding you have. So if you have bricks, okay, and you haven't been maintaining your bricks, you know, you have crack joints and,
yeah.
you know, the mortar is kind of deteriorating, that is definitely going to be a place where the water is going to come in from. Flashing on roofs as well. We see it often when it's a flat roof and you have a flashing and it's not well caulked and well maintained. Again, you have water coming down from those areas, windows, windowsills as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, many, many different things. Basements. Basements is another big thing. Foundations, I should say. Window wells around, like basement windows with inadequate window wells.
Yes.
You know, that's a very common problem. And then you have also the question of people think they have an adequate spacing between their basement window and the earth or, you know, their land. But what they don't know is the minimum requirement is 8 inches.
Okay.
So, you know, sometimes you go there and there's like 2 inches between the earth and the window, and there's no window well. Well, that's, you know, if you ever have a flood, you're not insured.
That's right, yeah.
That's right. So I mean, it's little things like this, but they make a big impact for you. And another thing that's extremely important, Dan, look at your insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
Most basements are not insured to the full coverage of the house. So okay. They have a limitation. you know, 10,000th limitation, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000. So look around, see if you have adequate coverage for the amount of things you have in your basement, including furniture.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay? You know, including furniture and content. And that's a big thing. It adds up real quickly.
Okay. Excellent advice. That's why Walter Assey is here. 514-790-0800. It's the Home Improvement Show. Star Talk on Bell Mobility. You can text your questions into 514-800.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
With me, Dan Laxer, and Walter Assey of Renovco, and we're taking your calls and questions at 514-790-0800, Star Talk on Bell Mobility, 1-800-491-CJD, or feel free, please, to text your questions in to 514-800, and we'll get to as many of them as we can before the show is out. We were talking about how rain will affect, will get in to walls, and you know, if the bricking and the pointing isn't done well. What about driveways and walkways?
Landscaping in general, I mean, it's a thing. So we have to ensure that everything is sloped away from the house foundation.
Yeah.
Right? In most cases, like if you look at certain homes like in Westmount or what have you, a lot of these homes don't even have French drains, but mm-hmm. they have adequate landscaping. And that decreases about 90% of the water going into your foundation or into your French drain.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's, you know, it might be a bit late in the season to do it now, but it's important. It doesn't matter if you have a recent foundation, a recent French drain. Do not encourage the water to come in big volume to your home, especially with extreme weather. I mean, there's only so much a foundation can take. There's only so much, you know, a French drain can take. You don't want to overload any of these systems in extreme weather, right? So, again, we're talking about extreme situations that, you know, under normal circumstances, it does not, you know, you're testing everything to its limit. If there's a pinhole in your foundation, water will come in.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that's the idea. As much as you can, as a homeowner yourself, help your own home. By all means, do it. Gutter extensions, because you know sometimes you do it and then you don't have gutter extensions, and the gutter is like right there where the foundation is. You know, it doesn't matter what you did with your landscaping. You have to have the gutter extensions on there, because all your roof water is coming straight to your French drain in this case.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. You know, when I was growing up, the gutter, it was just simply a sort of a slight bend away from the house. And yeah, but people are getting the extensions now.
Well, you know, that's why I say the evolution of the code is important. The building code is because we learn, we readjust, and then we reapply, right? Mm-hmm. So that's part of what's happening in, you know, that. Every few years, you see a code update, is because people, okay, gutter, yeah, it's great to have gutters, but, you know, we're doing it wrong, and now we have to do this, and so on and so forth.
We've got a call from Steve in Pierrefonds. Hi there, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How you doing? Any water damage in your house after the rain or not? Or no?
No. Fingers crossed, no.
Okay, good. How can we help you here this morning?
The temperature in my house is very high all the time. We had our roof done last year, and I just turned off the air conditioning system a couple of weeks ago, and the temperature during the day can get up to 28 in the house. We have to open windows. Is this a bad thing, or should I consider myself lucky that in the winter I'll probably pay less for hydro?
Let me ask you, how do you heat your home?
Furnace, electric.
Electric furnace. Do you have any electric baseboards anywhere as auxiliary heat?
In the basement, but they're typically turned off all the time.
Okay, and you're sure they're turned off? Have you went down there to check on them and touch them and see if they are?
I worked out in the basement, so they're definitely off.
Okay, good. Because that's sometimes something that's often, you know, I had a case where in July, the client was complaining about that, and you know the AC was on, but also was their electric baseboard, so they were constantly fighting against each other, and he didn't realize that. In your case, is when your furnace is off, have you also try turning the furnace off just to see if the temperature goes down?
The furnace is turned off, and I turned off the air circulation as well.
Wow.
But it's not like it's heating at all, and the temp can go from, you know, when we have the windows open, it'll be 23, 22.5, 23, and then during the day, even if it's a rainy day, it'll get up to 27, 28.
How old is your house?
It was built in 2004.
Okay. And you have an air exchanger?
Yes.
And it's functioning well?
I don't know.
Okay. I would check that out if you don't mind, because typically 2004 homes are extremely well insulated. And you know, the windows are hermetic, you have 2x6 structures, you have at least R22 in the walls, up to R50 in the attic. So that makes the house very very tight, and usually in recent homes they're made not to have air leaks. So if you have any failure in the ventilation, the air exchanger, or anything like that, you will feel it inside the house, unless of course you open the windows. So I will start by checking my air exchanger just to see if there's anything wrong with it, and take it from there. If not, then you know, I don't know, if you're telling me your furnace is off and your electric baseboards are are turned off for sure, then I wouldn't know what to tell you. But typically, okay, it could be an air exchange problem.
But it won't cause any problems, though?
I mean, it will in the air quality. The idea behind the air exchanger is because the air is so, the house is so airtight that, you know, you don't want to breathe your own air for months on end, the whole winter months,
right,
when you're not. So, yes, it could be, on the long term, you will see an air quality issue. And that's, you know, in these homes, it's extremely important that your exchanger is in good functioning order.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely important.
Okay.
Well,
great.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Glad to help, Steve. Thanks so much for the call. 514-790-0800, star talk on Bell Mobility, star 8255. Long distance even, 1-800-491-CJD, and you can text in your questions to 514-800. Your questions for Walter Assey of Renovco, and this is the Home Improvement Show on CJD 800. You were talking earlier about you know what I'm trying to say? The foundation of your house in a fairly new home. How often do you want to check your foundation to see if any work needs to be done on it?
I mean, obviously it's a newer foundation, not as often, but we have a case just happened actually this week. I went to see a condo syndicate that the building is 3 years old.
Yeah.
But whoever installed the French drain installed it wrong fashion, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had some work done. So whoever backfilled with the boulders. There was some, you know, big boulders around. And they crushed the brand new French drain, and they were having water in their basement due to that. So it doesn't mean it's new that it was well done.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, it becomes a question of if something is not right and you're smelling a lot of dampness or mustiness in your basement, because not every time you can see the water, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a subfloor, the water is seeping underneath. So, you know, it's the smell, it's the air quality, it's what you feel when you're down there. That's what's important.
Okay. And Maria is also important. She has a question about her heat pump. We'll talk to her after the 9:30 news with Don Kagan Fleming.
Good morning. It's 9:30. I'm Don Kagan Fleming with your CTV news update. Here's what's making news right now.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
That's me. I'm all thumbs, and that's why the Home Improvement Show is good for me. Let's go right back to the phones. Maria's out in Beaconsfield. Good morning, Maria.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have a question, my dear. We had replaced a heat pump. It's about maybe 10 months ago. And since then, they have the poor guy coming back and forth, waste his time. The air comes out for every heater. It's freezing cold. I told them the heat pump must be replaced. either it's defected or it was used or whatever it is. I don't know what the case is. And they're telling me, oh, get back to you, get back to you, get back to you. What's my alternative?
Okay. Sorry, my sound was off. In this case, sometimes, unfortunately, you have to become the technician yourself.
Okay.
I'm going to give you three different things that the guy have to check. Well, one of them you could check yourself. Let him check the refrigerant level in your heat pump, because sometimes the refrigerant is a bit low and he just have to top it off. The other thing, he might have a problem with the reversing valve. That's a common problem. So let him check the reversing valve in your heat pump. Look at your thermostat, because sometimes, you know, something as crazy as just having your thermostat on the wrong setting. So I would get him to check the thermostat as well. So the thermostat, the reversing valve, or the refrigerant levels. You don't necessarily need to replace a whole heat pump. But, you know, in any type of company, sometimes with these technicians, it depends on their level of experience, right? So they, you know, if they don't know a lot about this particular problem, they go by trial and error and then they start replacing pieces. So, but the most common issue usually is the reversing valve.
What on earth is that?
But they did check everything. They reset. They did that back and forth, back and forth. Went in the back. It's going to be okay now. But nothing absolutely changes. When the heat goes on, I touch every air and it's freezing air coming out.
Correct. So, I mean, when you say I don't know what they replaced. I'm just kind of giving you an indication of what should be replaced in cases like this. So,
should be replaced the refrigerant level?
Well,
said?
To check the refrigerant level or the reversing valve, okay, or the thermostat.
Mm-hmm.
These are the three things that usually will cause a problem. Nothing is the only thing, but these are the three things that are the most common. So let him check these things and then give you a list, or simply ask for another technician.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
Simply ask for another technician. If that doesn't work, then, you know, it's replacing the whole.
I feel bad to ask because we've been with them for the past, I don't know, 20 years, and I have no problem with this little guy. I mean, I don't know. And the manager called me himself and he says, we'll take care of it. Take care of it what? It's going to be here pretty soon and the problem is not solved.
So I'm not asking you to go with a different company, meaning... anyways, you're under guarantee. You just replace your heat pump, right? So what I'm asking you simply is the technician that they're sending you might not be experienced enough in these types of problems. I'm not saying he's not good. He might be good in other things, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's a specialty as well. And then if you send someone maybe more senior, then you they might come up with a solution. So that's what I would do. It's not, you know, don't change the companies because you're going to end up paying if you do.
No.
So advocate for yourself, call them back and make sure it gets done.
Or maybe let him come back with his boss, someone that is more senior with more experience. It's not a big issue. It's a brand new heat pump, so I don't see it's, you know, being so complicated. But, you know, it's ensure at least that these three things are checked and verified and reported back to you.
Is it normal that freezing air comes from every heater in the house? Is that normal?
It's not normal unless your thermostat is on cool setting, okay? So if you go to the thermostat and you put it on AC, yeah, it's very normal. But if it's not, then that's not normal. I mean, usually whatever temperature is coming out from the machine is coming from every register. You want to record different temperatures in different registers. So it is normal that whatever is coming out from there is uniform is all on all the registers, but it's not normal. It's cold if you have it on a heat setting.
Mm-hmm. I have it 21.5, and it will be working for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And on the other side, where it's supposed to be equal 125, it stays up to 20%. It does not reach the heat that I'm asking.
Yeah. So you've got to get that guy to come back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call, Maria.
Appreciate you. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. Let us know what happens, please, when, you know, whenever you have him back, and check these things that I just told you, okay?
I will. What's your name?
My name is Walter.
Walter, thank you so much.
Have a good day.
My pleasure.
Likewise. Bye-bye.
Cheers. We'll get to Laura and Derek's call in just a sec, but there's another call about another text about a heat pump. This is from Theo in St. Lazare. He says, I notice my electric furnace goes on at times when the temperature is, say, -3 or -4, rather than the thermo heat pump. Any ideas why?
Okay, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
Not a good sign, especially if it's a recent heat pump. Because these, you know, they kick in, usually it's -12 and up, mm-hmm. you know, where you would have the furnace kick in. The more modern ones, it's -30. And
okay.
So there's something definitely wrong with the heat pump, and I would have it checked as soon as possible, because you're going to pay a lot of money for electricity if you don't.
Sounds like it. Okay, there you go, Theo. Hope that helps. Let's go right to the phones. Laura is in NDG. Hi, Laura. Laura?
Oh, it's Nora.
Oh, Nora.
But thank you for taking my call.
It's a pleasure. How can we help?
I'd like to know the pros and cons of roof heating coils to prevent ice dams.
Okay, that's something that we're using a lot of lately because of the global warming and, mm-hmm. you know, the extreme weather, the mild weather that we've been having in the winter. It's pretty much heated coils that you put over the shingles in order to melt the snow as it goes down. It works in problematic areas. It does. It doesn't look great to the eye, so I mean, for the curb appeal of your home, it's not really the best thing to see.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the cons, if you wish. The other one is if it fails. The problem is, you know, you have to constantly maintain it and check it, because sometimes it fails and you don't know and you have a water damage. So if you have a problematic area, you're kind of dependent on the good functioning order of these coils not to have a water damage, which mm-hmm. is a big deal in case if it's one gadget and so on and so forth. So that's what I kind of don't like about it. And if they have to be installed by an electrician, that's very important, because we've seen cases where these things caught fire. They were not adequately installed, so that's important as well. I like the ones where they have sensors to them, okay? So when they get to a certain temperature, they kick in by themselves rather than you plugging in and plugging it out every day, depending on the weather and what's happening. Because that makes it like, that eliminates or decreases the human error of you forgetting or, you know, not paying attention to it. So that's one of the things I would add to it as a feature. But most importantly, try to go to the cause of the problem and fix it rather than putting a Band-Aid. So for me, it's a Band-Aid for a situation that could potentially be corrected through, you know, a different roof design or certain modification on your roof or your attic to prevent that from happening.
Well, I had the attic filled, you know, they blew in some insulation, but it happened again, so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I mean, here's a common mistake. It's not necessarily always the insulation that's causing that. It could also be the ventilation, mm-hmm. it could be your soffits, and it could be when they blew in the insulation, they blocked your soffits,
mm-hmm. okay.
and over they're overheating your attic right now. So, you know, you call an insulation guy, that's what he's interested in selling you. You call a roofer, that's what he's interested in selling you. You need to have a maestro that can look at all of these things and then come up with a solution that addresses your ventilation, that addresses your roof line, that addresses your gutters as well.
Right.
'Cause, you know, in cases you go there and there's a gutter topper in an area where it's already prone to ice damming,
mm-hmm.
where the gutter topper is actually not helping. So that, you know, it's a small fix. It costs you maybe $200 to get someone to take out all the gutter toppers, you know, rather than putting a heating coil or this or that or the other thing. You know, and sometimes it's just a question of putting these heating coils in your gutters rather than on your roof, just to make sure that the gutter is always functioning, things are melting going in there, nothing is accumulating on the gutter and the downspout and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I don't think just the insulation is the answer. Mm-hmm. specifically in these areas. You know, we've been in the roof inspection a couple of days ago, and yes, they had it insulated and was great. It was R50. We measured it. But the problematic area could not be insulated because of the roof line.
Mm-hmm.
So they solved areas to the client or to the homeowner that already had no problem. And the area that had the problem, they couldn't get to, and that was their excuse. But in the first place, the reason that they were called was for that particular corner of the house. So, and why? Because the roof line in that area is extremely low, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the good news, it was on a different versant of the roof. So you could potentially, instead of replacing the whole roof, just correct that area and raise that area up. And then, you know, eliminate it as a problem forever. Even for resale, for any, because you have to declare these things. You can't just, you know, when you sell the house, you have to say, I have a problem here, it's ice damming. So instead of, you know, kind of getting, living with the problem, try to solve it if you can.
Okay, now who would you call to assess that?
The best is a general contractor, someone that can look at the problem in many different eyes, okay? Specialized contractors are great if you zero in into the problem and you know that that's my problem. If it's a roof, I can call a roofer because I know my problem is in the roof. But when you want something that is multidisciplinary with multiple different potential problems, get someone that have seen it all and you know, someone with maybe a water damage infiltration, water restoration experience, because these contractors typically see more, you know, the problematic part of failures in infiltrations and what have you. Mm-hmm. Even if they do the remediation part, they still have to find the cause. So that's where I would start.
All right, we're up against the clock, Nora. We got to run. I hope that helped. Thanks so much for the call. 514-790-0800. And you can text in to 514-800.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
With me, Dan Laxer, and Walter Assey of Renovco. And we'll get right back to the phones. Derek in Ile-Bazar, welcome.
Hello, sir.
Yes.
How are you?
Good. How can we help you?
Okay, so it's a fairly complicated situation.
Uh-oh.
I bought a duplex, standalone detached duplex in Ahuntsic about 2 years ago. I pretty much gutted the entire building, took out the water heater system, replaced it with electrical baseboards, shot urethane on the main floor and insulated with styrofoam panels in the basement. Okay. Ever since I've done this construction work, the upstairs apartment, which I did not touch the exterior walls, started sweating during the winter time.
Okay.
And this never happened before in the last 50 years of the building. This only happened when I had taken out the furnace and shot urethane on the main floor.
Okay, so it's not really as complicated as you think. It's pretty much a problem with, again, you made the apartment airtight, okay? So downstairs, when you did what you did, which is great, did you install an air exchanger?
No, actually, I took out the air exchanger.
So that's your main issue. What you've done is you made this place airtight, that now any humidity that's created in that inside the apartment, it's making everything sweat. So
okay.
Plus
in the upstairs apartment where there's
correct.
No insulation.
Well, that's correct.
So that moisture is traveling upstairs.
Correct. So what I would say that you need to do, even for the air quality of your own apartment, because now your apartment is airtight, so whatever air you're breathing that all day long. You need to put that and you will see that there will be a big difference in the air quality in your apartment and potentially could solve the issue upstairs as well. In the upstairs apartment, have you replaced anything, windows, anything at all?
I was thinking about redoing the windows next year.
Okay.
Because they do condensate a lot. You got a puddle of water at the bottom of the window every year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that will probably make your problem even worse. If you change the windows upstairs, you're going to see if it's sweating now, it's going to sweat a lot more after. Because again, you need some type of, you know, an air exchange system in order to evacuate all the humidity and everything else that you're creating in that airtight apartment right now. I mean, that's why it's part of the code. We see it in our building code that when you build a new house, it's by code you have to have a heat recovery system or an air exchanger. It's because if you don't, that's going to happen and your air quality is going to be terrible and you're going to have all kind of condensation in your apartment.
So adding back in that air exchanger on the main floor, you think will cut out humidity in the upstairs apartment?
At a minimum, it will improve it. Okay, and it will improve the air quality in your own apartment as well.
All right. Hope that helps, Derek.
Try it and let us know.
All right, he didn't seem too happy. Tony, we have only a few minutes left. Let's see if we can help you before the show's through.
I have a hot water heating system with which is electric, and I have this expansion tank. It says expansion control or hydronic heating system, and it seems to be full. Can I do something with that myself, or do I need a plumber to empty it or replace it?
I'm not very savvy with these types of systems to be able to assist you with a trick or two. I would personally, if this was my home, I would just call a technician, to be quite frank with you. Because I know that it's a very finicky system. Okay. And anything that you might do to kind of play out with the balance and the pressure, it might throw off the whole system. So as far as I'm concerned, this is the type of system where I always call in a professional. And because I've never done any work on I've installed these types of systems, but I have not maintained them. I'm not one to give you proper advice about this. So, you know, if I were you, I would just call somebody.
Okay. And to replace a thermostat, which is existing, it's an old thermostat.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something recommended for that system?
What's recommended is if you look at the manufacturer's handbook, they tell you which thermostats are compatible with the system. Okay, so not every thermostat you buy from out there might be compatible with their system. That's very, very, very important. It's a common mistake that we do, and you know, not because it's a brand new thermostat that's going to work. So, and if you can't get a hold of their of anyone there, what you do is you kind of get the serial number, and you just Google it, and then you know you could print out the instruction manuals from the manufacturers from the internet.
All right. Thanks so much for the call, Tony.
Thanks very much.
Cheers. That's Walter Assia of Renovco. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure, sir.
I'm Dan. That's Jimmy at Master Control. The car show with Lisa Christensen is on the way, and there's already a call waiting for her. That's fantastic. Stay tuned for the car show after the 10 o'clock news on CJAD 800.